Welcome to Real Time with WLP. I'm Diana Ferraez, a member of the Digital Committee at WLP and Marketing Director at MIP, and I will be your host for this episode, Empowering Inclusion in Healthcare. Today, it is a pleasure to introduce our guest, Amy Gomez, Senior Vice President Diversity Strategy at Click Health. Amy is a cross-cultural marketing thought leader and champion for health equity with over 20 years of experience helping Fortune 500 companies. She currently leads the cross-cultural marketing department for Click Health, the world's largest independent commercialization partner for life sciences, and leads the company's diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives as well. Last week, Amy was honored by Clio as a 2022 Clio Health Innovator, which honors the behind-the-scenes leaders pushing healthcare marketing forward. Amy, welcome to our podcast and congratulations on this award. Bienvenida a nuestro podcast y muchas felicidades por este premio que acabas de recibir.
Gracias, Diana. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
I understand that you currently have a dual role at Click Health, leading the cross-cultural marketing, and the other role that you have is the internal role of leading the diversity, equity, and inclusion strategy and initiatives. Can you share with us what are some of the effective strategies and tactics that you have implemented that promote diversity, equity, and inclusion in an organization?
Absolutely. I'd be happy to share some of the things that we're doing at Click. But I do think it's important to observe up front that every organization is different. And so a critical first step for any organization that wants to improve its diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging is doing an honest assessment of where their organization is and listening to lots of different voices in that assessment in a wide variety of roles and levels. Because ultimately, DE&I is not a one-size-fits-all with the same roadmap for every organization. And assessment doesn't just mean benchmarking how much diverse representation you have within your organization. It has to be about the entire culture. As you recruit diverse professionals into your organization, what is the culture that you're bringing them into? What is their experience? What is their access to growth opportunities and sponsorship and advancement? You need to assess where the mindset gaps are and develop strategies to address them. So at Click, when we did that assessment, we saw that we could benefit from a strategy around expanding our leadership and hiring managers' knowledge base around the experience of people of color in the workplace and in the world, and dimensionalizing their view of what leadership looks like. So, one of the programs that I'm very proud of is a diverse mentorship program. And what that is a 6-month program that pairs white senior executives as mentees with Clicksters of color as their mentors. It's a program that's designed to foster awareness amongst Click's executive leaders of the experiences and perspectives of BIPOC Clicksters, to build more diverse internal networks for mentees and mentors, and to foster sponsorship and career development for the mentors. We're now in the second year of the program, and one of the refinements we made is that we added a guide for pairs who needed more support in their conversations. And it has monthly themes and short articles on things like understanding the invisible white norm, or what is the meaning of sponsorship versus mentorship. And one of our mentees told us that his mentor has provided a lifetime of overdue wisdom and insight in only a few weeks' time.
Make a great point, Amy. We need to start from the inside of the organizations and set those type of programs to be more inclusive as leaders and managers in different areas. You talked about the internal aspect of implementing DE&I strategies in an organization, but what about outside the organization? What is the next step regarding best practices to communicate and embrace diversity, equity, and inclusion with customers and their communities?
It's a great question, Diana. And I think, for a lot of individuals, there's some confusion about the distinction between DE&I, which is internal, and cross-cultural marketing, which is the market-facing lens of DE&I towards your customer. So, you know, DE&I is a critical part of organizational culture, and it's about the implementation of practices, procedures, and programs that ensures all employees feel included and have access to, as we said earlier, opportunities, training, and advancement. But that market-facing lens is cross-cultural marketing. It's an insight-driven strategic approach that's based on mining for insights about all of your diverse consumer segments who make up your audience, and then integrating those insights into your strategy. And it truly is a way for healthcare marketers to address long-standing inequities in their therapeutic areas. Now, if you've been in pharma for a while, you've probably seen the usual playbook. So, communications platforms and campaigns are built, and they're mostly built using inputs about non-Hispanic white people. And then at the end of the process, someone will say, oh, but what about Hispanics? Or what about Black people? And the response is usually, okay, I will cast more actors of color, and I will translate things into Spanish, and I will finally do that media buy on blackdoctor.org or Univision. And you know what that misses is, if you are waiting until that executional phase, it's probably already too late to make an impact. It's really about understanding the unmet needs of the consumers who are driving population growth and cultural trends in the US and who are underserved by the healthcare system, and then embedding those insights into your brand's marketing strategy. And the idea is that all of the brand communications that result from that are going to be relevant for the market at large, but particularly resonant for these high growth segments, because you've been thinking about them and you've understood their unmet needs from the very beginning of the process.
I totally agree. Cross-cultural marketing programs are not often in place, but they are key to understand communities and their beliefs and behaviors in advance, as you were saying, and to help organizations to communicate more effectively. And not only that, but to create value and opportunities for those communities as well, right? Talking about cross-cultural marketing communities, this month, we celebrate the Canadian Multiculturalism Day. In your opinion, how can the healthcare industry meet the needs of cross-cultural communities and address unconscious bias?
You know, I think it gets back to what we were just discussing, which is the opportunity for brands to begin to address inequities in their therapeutic areas through insight-driven cross-cultural marketing. And it really starts by being willing to do things differently and to take the effort to deeply understand the attitudes, beliefs, behaviors, and unmet needs of all of their patient groups, including their Black, Latino, Asian, and Indigenous patients, and those in the LGBTQ+ community, and then to integrate that knowledge into your commercialization strategy. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but the data that we need to drive effective cross-cultural marketing often doesn't exist. And that starts with our clinical trials, where really everything begins in our industry, right? I mean, the US, for example, is now 42% multicultural, but clinical trial participation is still 85 to 90% non-Hispanic white, which is a huge issue because drugs affect different groups differently. And if a group isn't included in the trial, there's no way to really ensure that the drug will be both safe and effective for them. But clinical trials aren't the only area of research where representation is lacking. I mean, if you think about all of the research as marketers we do every day, the ATUs, exploratory research, and message testing, the usual approach is representative sampling, which actually means, okay, we'll let the cards fall where they will in terms of underrepresented groups. And that typically results in never having, for example, enough people of color to make a stable sample that can yield actionable information for us. And that gap, that information and data gap, was what led us at Click to undertake some of our own research, a first of its kind proprietary study on Hispanic health that was published in the latest issue of the Journal of Cultural Marketing Strategy. And I'll just give you one short example of our findings. We found that Hispanics are extremely enthusiastic about and comfortable with all kinds of health technology. Now, the reason it's so important to document that is because there's a lot of research showing that medical professionals are less likely to prescribe health technology tools like continuous glucose monitors, for example, to their Hispanic patients. And it seems to be based on a certain amount of unconscious bias on the part of HCPs. They might feel that Hispanics won't be comfortable with the technology or that they won't understand how to use it. And that's the real importance of documenting this data, to get these life-changing technologies into the hands of Hispanic consumers and to engage our HCPs in creating more health equity in this community.
I think that data, as you were saying, is not out there or not easy to find. You know, as a marketer myself, I can tell you that what you are telling with a study, you know, is the kind of information that we are looking, because perception sometimes can be, perception can be misleading.
I couldn't agree with you more. So often perception, what we think are perceptions, are actually misperceptions or our own unconscious biases.
Thank you for sharing that great information with us. Very interesting. I just have one more question for you, Amy. Anything that you would like to share as how our listeners can create change in the industry?
Thank you for the question. And I would say to all of your listeners, as you're engaged in your commercial activities or your internal corporate culture building, ask yourself the questions. Whose voice isn't represented here? Whose needs are not being addressed? Those questions will always uncover opportunities to create more equity.
Thank you for sharing with us, Amy. This is a great advice. And Amy, thank you so much for joining us today and share your expertise with us. Muchas gracias.
Gracias a ti, Diana. Fue un placer. It was a pleasure to speak with you and with your listeners.
To our audience, thank you for listening to Real Time with WLP. If you enjoyed this episode, we invite you to subscribe to our podcast and follow us on LinkedIn. Stay tuned, everyone, and have a great day.